first of all, for me to read it to and trust you know this one. Just to deal with matters around the policy issues. And because administrative issues, by and large, belong to a department. But it's really around two issues that this year we want to deal with all organization or all organs. It will be around the question of development and transformation on sport. It's an area really that we want to concentrate on this year, at least for the term. And then that we don't really interested how many sugars you buy and how many cocaines you buy, how is your chain supply management issues. They are very important though, but our committees of parliament that deal specifically with those issues. At the post-factual level, the public account, and then at the existential level, I think will be the committee. I think it's important that we do that. Otherwise, it's going to take us another 100 years. For instance, if the cricket produces one person per year, it's Makayanti, and then it's also every year, every 10 years, a decade, one person is produced. I think it can't be right in general. We hope that all of you who are involved in sport administration will work together with the committee. We have no intention to embarrass anyone. We have no intention to turn members of our society to children here. Our intention is to really address the issue of development and trade. And that's what we really want you to assist us on. And of course, matters of governance and leadership are very critical also, because we wouldn't have transformation and development without us of proper structures on the ground. But I think the committee generally wants today to hear about those things. Boxing generally, I think, is very important. It used to be a very popular sport, I'm told, in America, 1960s, 50s. But I'm not sure it's as popular as it was when Thomas Hinch and Michael Chandler. I'm not sure what happened generally in international boxing sport. I know, of course, there's Mayweather, and of course, dodging another person there. But it's a very critical point that all of us, we must be able to address what has happened in the South African boxing, given the fact that we have produced in the past year very good boxers in our country. But what makes boxers and all our artists general, they perform very well, but they die poor. What is the problem? It was an important issue for members of parliament to start addressing the real issues that affect our people. And then how you lead your department and what you do, that really is your business, gentlemen. But we are much more interested really to address some of those issues. It is a very big issue. And then all the boxers that you used to produce commitment, and then all of them really disappeared. Some of them, they can't even have a bicycle, they are too poor, some are sick. I think there is something wrong in general about how we manage our sport. Maybe the policy issue, I don't know. That's why many of you are going to appear before the committee, at least this year, for and to the members, is to address the real issue that worries all of us. It shouldn't about whether Bafana is in what is this country, in Kukurut, in and Gabon. I don't care about that. I'm not a manager of sport, generally. Whether they're there or not, is immaterial, really. Because you know that Bafana was there in 1996. And then from there onwards, we've been going down. Then it's an issue of policy, issue of development, issue of transformation. I think we should do that, Martin. Because we can only have various members of parliament themselves that are concentrated on issues where they are competent to deal with. Rather than really tea and coffee, in my view, I don't think you're interested in tea and coffee. And who provides it really is your business. But I think we must do this thing because I think this committee can assist us, I think, for many years to come if we concentrate on real big issues of transformation and development. And then when Comrade Monde comes here, they come to address those issues with us. What is happening on this one? Because then what is the general news with the whole issue of wasteful expenditure? And they deal with those matters generally very well. But I think the members of parliament must be concentrated on bigger issues that will make a bigger impact in our society in terms of development of sport and also in terms of transformation. I think that's what we should try to do. I'm not saying that we mustn't deal with one run, two run, why this one was fired to this one. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that we must concentrate on bigger issues that will make a better impact in the development and betterment of our society. It's an issue that I think I myself say to predict it because it's the beginning of the year. And then we are also honored that we are going to South Africa this year. We wanted to meet with them last year. Of course, there was some delay. I think really the team is here today. Let us have really a very constructive engagement around the boxing in our country. Yeah, that's what really a constructive engagement. We need very constructive, robust engagement between us and all other organs that are coming to us. In a manner really that assists us too to understand what are the real challenges in some of this world. I think to me it would be very important that we do that. I think that's what we want to do. We don't want to count how many court rings are bought by department. Department must assist us to say we want sport to be transformed and be developed in our country. What are you doing? Therefore, everyone must sweat before the committee to give us all the political issues around the police matter. And then the Auditor General is very committed in seeing all the wasteful expenditures. I think that deals with that issue very well. Despite, of course, the prospector issue, but I think it's a very clear issue. I think we should do that. I think Corey and the team that always prepare some of these issues to be invited. People must also be informed, as they are invited, that we expect you to address us in this critical issue. When they come here, they are prepared for us. Because we've got no intention to embarrass any person. There will be no member of parliament anyway that has got intention to embarrass any person. What we want is real information that will assist us to take an informed decision. That's what really both in South Africa will expect you to do for us today. Of course, there will be issues of leadership, issues of governance, issues. I think they're important too. But I think really just take us through to understand what has happened in the boxing in South Africa. Why this problem of almost terror, from there onwards, we started to go down. Even the province that used to produce real boxers, Eastern Cape, I think it was in Chambon. Really charmed, but they used to produce very good young boys, a boxer. When you go to rural areas in Eastern Cape, many people wanted to be boxers, even young people were playing a very important role. But it seems the whole issue now is going down. There's something wrong somewhere. And we are very privileged that Comrade Mondo are here. I'm just saying that Comrade Mondo anyway, not meaning that we are here in the ANC meeting. And it's just how I used to call you all along in my life. And then you bear that with me. Honorable Pastor, I think you'll bear that with me. But it's important that we do that. And then really want to give it to you. There are apologies that I hear, and then they're speaking to you. Is that really an apology?
Okay, thank you, Chair. I'm noting the apology of Honorable Dikhatwe. Honorable Christine Dube, Honorable Mjobo, as well as Honorable Bantu Lumisa. Those are all the apologies.
Another apology? I think that we are done.
Good morning, honorable members. morning, Chairperson. My name is Ngwande Balfour. I've just been appointed in September last year by the Minister of Sport, Minister Fikile Mbalula, to chair boxing South Africa. Of course, the Minister had called for nominations, I understand, which probably missed me. I didn't see that. I don't read newspapers. I sit with cattle on the farm. I hardly read anything. He appointed then that board, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. But I do want to thank you very much for dragging me from that kind of retirement to come back to M46. I've been here so many times of my life. It's unbelievable. As a member of Parliament and as a member of the Executive. And it feels a little bit funny to be sitting on the side of the members, because I normally would have sat on that side with the members, and now I'm not. I'm sitting this side, so it does look a little bit odd. But thank you for the opportunity to ask us to come and talk to you about, one, the annual report of Boxing South Africa, which is very, very important to yourselves, because as an entity, we depend on the appropriation of yourselves as Parliament, Honourable Members, to get the grant that we do from the Executive Authority, who is the Minister of Sport. That's where we report to as an entity. Let me quickly introduce our CEO, Mr. Great, who Moffat, that's his name. He started in June last year, appointed by the Minister of Sport, solely because there was a board, but the board, as I understand from the Minister's remarks when he appointed us, that the board was dysfunctional. So he had to, as the Minister, take over the cudgels and have somebody to make sure that the ship is run properly. So one might find an anomaly on how does the Minister appoint the CEO without the board. But that was the situation. But then there was the chairperson of the board at that time, Dr. Peter Ngatane, who is now a member of the new board. So that's the anomaly, but we have rectified that anomaly as the new board, that we accept the Minister's appointment of the CEO, because there was a need, a dire need, for that, and the Minister acted in good faith in doing that. So that's him sitting next to me. So he is the accounting officer of Boxing South Africa. Anything that has to do with the finances of Boxing South Africa, the bug stops with him. But of course, for all other matters, even the finance things, the bug stops with the board and with me in particular, as the chairperson. I want to give you that, and let me give you one of the members, and I see that we have also the AG's team here with us. I think they will introduce themselves. Mr. Musa sitting over there comes, and together with the lady, they come from the Auditor General's office, which is the watchdog over government money and government finances. And I'm quite happy that they're here, because they do know much of the report we're talking about. It was done by the AG to report on the how we manage the appropriation that we get from the Minister, but also from Parliament, because it's Parliament that appropriates that. The members of the board who could not come with us, and it's a simple reason why they could not come with us. We're running an institution that doesn't have finances. We're running an institution that's been running on 2.5 million rand, and it was in the red, on that 2.5 million rand. And the Minister had to assist to get the ball boxing South Africa out of that red, which it had put itself into. The Minister appointed, therefore, we couldn't get all of them to come, because we have to fly down here. The beauty of it is the chairperson does have to be flown. Anyway, simple. I thank Parliament for that. Because I still derive some benefits from Parliament. As an ex-member of Parliament. So it was not done by me. It was done by Parliament. So I don't have to squeeze boxing to fly me anyway. I just have to ask Parliament to fly me. And that's it. As an ex-member. I don't think it's me only. We're quite a number of those. But thank you, Parliament, and honorable members, for agreeing to that. Right. The chairperson is me. And we have Ms. Mudutambi Ravele. Some of you would know him from Netball South Africa, from the PSL, and from other sports activities. She's quite an old hand at it. We call her Ndambi Ravele. We've got Mr. Thabani Khumalo, comes from KwaZulu-Natal, young person, energetic, knows, loves boxing within that area of KwaZulu-Natal. And remember, KwaZulu-Natal has produced one of the best boxers, Tep, Makatini, and the Honorable Chairperson referred to the old boxers. What happened? Why do they die boppers? I probably will address that as we go along. We've got Mandla Nhlanganiso. Mr. Mandla Nhlanganiso coming from the Western Cape. He's been in boxing, comes from East London, boxing lover, energetic young person, also stayed in the East, in the Western Cape, and is one of those commissioners who help us with the province. Mr. Dumile Mateza, most honorable members would know Mr. Mateza, been a sports commentator for years, working on boxing, and worked on boxing for Minister Stofile during Minister's time, on boxing to look at the problems that have beset boxing. We've got that report from him. We're looking at it as the new board and teasing out some of those things that we see nowadays. Ms. Nonzasa Limaka, she comes from Islanda originally. She is in Johannesburg. Loves boxing, and interesting enough, people come from Islanda know only one thing and one thing only in sport, mostly boxing, because Islanda has been the mecca of boxing for a number of years. So you expect people coming from there to have a good understanding of boxing. Dr. Peter Ngatane has been in boxing for as many years as I've known him. He runs the SEDI clinic up in Joburg. He's a specialist. He's been in boxing for years. He was the chair, I think about two terms in boxing. He's been the chairperson of Boxing South Africa. So that's the team that Minister Mbalula put together to steer boxing to clear waters. Now, chairperson, just very quickly, I do want to quote what the minister has said to us when we were appointed on the first. He announced that on the 29th of August, and we started work on the first. The term that we have to work on is a three-year term. I have not, I must admit, totally agreed to that for myself. I've asked the minister if I could do it within 1 year, because I do need my me-time. I started with my me-time, so I said to the minister, I'll try it within 1 year and see what I can do. I'll throw everything into it, and then I'll see what I do, because I still need my me-time to stay there with my dogs and my cattle. That's my me-time. So the minister has said, well, you'll come back to me after a year, but I don't think I would agree with that now. So I'm still hanging in suspense. The minister clearly said to us when he appointed us on the first day we met, the mandate of boxing South Africa, as you would know, as per the Act of Boxing, amongst others, it's to create an organized and regulated environment for professional boxing. But then immediately said, together with amateur boxing. Remember the Act, which I'll talk to very briefly about, does mention amateur boxing, if you look at the Act. It does mention amateur boxing. We're going to design appropriate structural arrangement for boxing to improve the quality of tournaments for boxing, develop high-performing boxers, mentioned the way that boxing, that have, it has gone down from what it should have been years and years ago. And I think as a former Minister of Sport, but also as the minister who formed Boxing South Africa during my term, that was 2001, and as the minister then who created the act which we are working on now, I should know a little bit much better of what needs to be done in boxing, and probably that's why he dragged me to come and chair Boxing South Africa. Now, briefly, very briefly, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, boxing has been thriving in our country for years and years. It was thriving under the 1954 Act, which was the oldest act, and I'm sure that act is older than some of us. It was older than most members of my department. I'm probably older than that act by 1 year. So you can imagine having to deal with an act that you are older with by 1 year. Surely that's difficult to deal with. From there, we produced a number of good boxers. And it was not the act at that time that was assisting. It was the enthusiasm that was there and the understanding that people had of boxing. But then after that, we created the Act, 2001 Act, and we had the first board of BSA, chaired by Mr. Mtobi Kiamza, who I appointed, at that time working for Vodacom. The club that he brought into boxing was very good, because there was then Vodacom on board. There were other organizations that came in. He managed to make sure that things worked out. So if you go back to that, you'll find that it was run quite properly at that stage. But then trouble hit boxing after that. The chairpersons changed, the CEOs changed, everything went downhill. I'm not sure why, but it just went downhill and boxing became what it is today. It's very true, chairperson, what you're saying. Boxers die paupers. Boxers die paupers because nobody skills them in terms of finance management, how to manage their finances, how to manage themselves, how to be the model role model that we want them to be. And I don't think we assisted them. I'm saying we because I've got to own the situation. We assisted them in understanding what needs to be done in terms of mandatory fights, because they are mandatory fights that they have to do. And if you don't do it, it's up to you and your manager to follow up on that. You don't do the mandatory fight, something is going to happen. And I saw during my reading now, because I was away for a long time from boxing, I went to the prisons of this country and I went to Botswana as an ambassador. So I couldn't keep up with boxing. And when I read through, I found out that a number of things that are happening that should have not have happened, which I think we are trying to correct now and make sure that they don't happen again. It's not going to be easy. It's an uphill battle because it's got human nature in it. And once it has two things, human nature and a number of huge finances here and there, you're going to get trouble at the end. Make no mistake about that. It's just that kind of combination that needs to be managed all the time. If you don't manage properly, you'll have problems. So the minister was quite clear when he gave us this to run, that I'm giving you this because there are problems that are facing boxing, and they are huge problems. He also mentioned that notable sponsors have also left the sport of boxing in recent years. As we sit here, as Boxing South Africa, we don't have a sponsor. And one of the tasks that the minister has given us is to go out and get sponsorship for boxing. That's one. Number two, you go out there, chairperson, with your board, and look at the screening of boxing, particularly by the public broadcaster, SABC. People want to see boxing. People want to see their heroes fighting. People want boxing brought back into their living rooms, but also to their halls, community halls, and to their community venues. They want to see boxing thriving. That's the message of the minister. I will quote him again when he said the incoming board will take up this challenge of getting these sponsors and getting boxing to where it was before, and ensure that boxing spreads like wildfire from the Mecca of boxing, which is East London, and across, when we say East London, Tanzania mostly, across the length and breadth of our country. I want to see boxing doing that. That's the message coming from the minister. And we're working now on that message coming from the minister and making sure that we do not disappoint, not the minister only, but the people of South Africa who have seen the Tep Makatinis, the Blue Jabba Morodis, the Heavy Boy Mkajis, and a number of other Hawks Makepulas. They want to see most of those boxers, of the young boxers, emulating the likes of those boxers. You're right, Chairperson. In the States, boxing has been one of the best sports over the years. And even now, it's still one of the best sports. And I'm telling you, Chairperson and honorable members, it's not because of anything. It's because of the commitment they have. And secondly, they are backed by sponsors. They are backed by a huge broadcaster called HBO. And you will see, if Floyd Mayweather fights and fights with Pacquiao, or Pac-Man as we call him, it becomes a standstill. Everybody stands still and watches. The minister said, we need to get that. Where households, when mom is making breakfast and the children are watching boxing, mom drops the plate and the eggs and goes in there because she hears the children saying, left, right, jab, down. That's what we want to see happening in boxing. But it's not going to be easy to get that. We've got to work very, very hard to make sure that we get to that point. Very quickly, because I've got to give over to the CEO to take us through, one, the annual report, which really is something that is worrying to me and is worrying, I know, to the members of Parliament. Last year, we came in 1st of September. We got an invitation. I want to address that. But the problem at that time was the annual report had not gone through the minister, and the minister had not tabled it. And we spoke to the minister and said, Minister, should we? The minister said, no, I'll write to Parliament and ask if they could wait until you are really settled with this. Because Parliament will not only be interested in the annual report, but, as you rightly put it, in the broader policy spectrum and in our threat plan as Boxing South Africa, and be able to assist us in pushing it forward. Because we would like honourable members, of course, constituency offices, honourable members are in communities where sometimes you can't reach. Honourable members should be assisting us and saying, BSA is now doing this and this and that. And honourable members should be able to talk to communities about boxing. How do we revive boxing in our communities? But again, that amateur boxing. Minister again on amateur boxing spoke and said, we have met with amateur boxing, him as the minister. I was not there. The CEO was not there at that time. But the minister met and he smoothed the ground for us. Remember, there's been tensions between amateur boxing and professional boxing. Professional boxing depends solely on amateur boxing. So there's going to be a very strong bridge. We talk about a bridge that makes sure that those amateurs that have done very well can cross over to professional boxing with the understanding that there's something that goes into amateur boxing. So as professional boxing, we should have that kind of synergy with amateur boxing and assist them to bring up those boxers and to make them cross the bridge and assist them over to us. Because once you cross the bridge to professional, you can't go back to amateur. do need quality amateurs to come through. And we took it from there, what the minister said, we've met at the indaba of the minister. I had the pleasure of meeting with the amateur boxing people. And we're following that up. We're inviting them to our meetings. We're inviting women boxing to our meetings so that, and we have a section within our board that deals with women boxing, because that's critical to all of us. And the minister emphasized that to us. Chairperson, I just need to, I've spoken about last year, and if there was any ill feelings about that, we're very sorry, but we tried to explain that we had not had a session with the department. We depend on the department for our grant, and therefore we need to be at the same level of the department when we come to Parliament. One of the things I need to say, I couldn't have been a member of Parliament for all these years, and after that undermine the very same institution that has made me to be who I am. Can't do that. But we need to work in a way that will make sure that we do not bypass any structure when we have to have a session. We come here knowing that the DG, the new DG of sport, knows that we're here. He has briefed the CEO, have spoken about it, so they do know that we're here in front of the Portfolio Committee of Parliament. We don't want to come here without the minister knowing. It would undermine the relationship between BSA and the minister, and we don't want that to happen. Would like to also report, as I said, he will do the report, the corrective measures on how we've dealt with the annual report. That one is for 10 and 11, 2010 and 2011. And unfortunately, we were not there, both of us, and even the new committee members. The chairperson was Mr. Ngatane, and the acting CEO at that time was Mr. Louis Obuja. But again, as a member of an organization that has taken over the running of government over the years, there's no way I can distance my board and myself from that annual report. There is absolutely no way. So I own up and say that annual report is BSA's annual report, and therefore we are the custodians of BSA. Therefore, this report we're talking about, we own that report. Even if we're not there, we own that report, and it's up to us to clean it up, correct it, and make sure that when the Portfolio Committee calls us, honorable members, we are able to report on what have we done to clean up that report. So I can't sit here and say it was not done by me. I'm not a child. We're not children to be doing that. We've been given a task to do. We own up to everything that is BSA, right or wrong. And we have to correct what is wrong, and move forward with what is right. I've given you the formation of Boxing South Africa and how it went over the years, how it went down. One of the things we started doing, Chairperson, was to do the structural arrangement first. Look at that. Are our structures in place? Are we doing the right thing? Are we really, really on the road to recovery? So we did that first, and I'm quite happy to report that our strat plan will be presented on the 30th of this month to the minister's office. We've done that. It will be presented on time to the ministers. And I would love to come back to the honorable members and report our strat plan on what are we looking at in our strategy plan. Development and transformation of boxing is contained in that strat plan, which we will finalize as the board. We have a board meeting on Friday. We'll finalize that, and if the portfolio committee at some stage towards May or June want to call us in to report on the strat plan, I'm quite comfortable with that, because it would have been finalized by the Friday. Goes to the minister. Minister looks at it and then give us the go-ahead to take it forward. Chairperson, I think I will stop there and just say to you, I think the structures are in place, honorable members, and I can attest to that because the ratings committee is there. We need to rate box out. The sanction committee is there. It's chaired by Dumile Mateza, sanctions committee. The ratings committee by Kulile Khadu, whom I have a lot of time for because he's been doing those ratings even during that time. And then we have our audit committee. We will have that in place by Friday because one of the things that I mentioned in the annual report, and we will have then, we have our DC in place already, the disciplinary committee. Some of the issues that will come out of the annual report, the AG does not mean his words. AG is saying, investigate and take action. I can't do anything else. My hands are bound by that. So if there's anything possible, fraud or anything that has come out of the annual report, it goes for investigation. I can't, as the chairperson, say we can't investigate this because the final word is that of the AG. It's not my final word. I'm bound by what the AG is saying. Investigate, make sure that this thing is dealt with and dealt with immediately. There are a number of them that Chrissy will touch on that are in the annual. And I hope the members have had the annual report since our table last year. And I do know that they don't have members, they don't have copies today. The copies they have are of just the corrective measures that we are taking. And even for that, I must apologize. When I ran departments, I used to say to my officials, Parliament needs to have our reports a week before so that they can read through it. This time, we've dropped the ball because we did not have time last year to come and talk to you. And when we meet with honourable members, I would like to have all the reports before we talk to them so that we can be on the same par in what we are discussing. So for now, we'll give over to the CEO to take us through the annual report. There will be other issues that members will raise. If I cannot respond to some of those issues, we will definitely write them down, take them with us, and when we come with the strat plan, because I'm sure some of those issues are contained in the strat plan, then we'll come back and deal with some of those issues. So I'm quite comfortable that members can raise those issues that are outside of the annual report. What we got invitation for was mostly on the annual report for today, but I'm quite comfortable as a former member of parliament to city and take some of those and come back. Chairperson, I really appreciate the time that you have given me together with the honourable members to be able to just say a few things about boxing. I'm concerned about boxing. Everybody's concerned. Lots of our committees out there are waiting to see boxing on their screens, are waiting to go to community halls to see boxing happening, are waiting to see boxing in the ring and not outside of the ring. Minister lastly says, for too long boxing has been outside of the ring. It's been in the media ringside. And it's about time. It's one of those things that we've tried to contain now, to say nobody is going to speak about boxing outside of the ring. At the present moment, I will talk about boxing, Pete will talk about boxing, which is a resolution we took, and nobody else. We will make sure that we run a tight ship and everything is done according to the book. I would be actually embarrassing the very same organization that took me to Parliament and made me who I am if anything goes wrong with this small ship. It's a small ship boxing compared to a department like sport, which I ran for 5 years, compared to a department like correctional services. You look at the money, it's 5 million now. The minister has made sure that at least you get 5 million per annum. We need to be able to do that properly with that kind and that amount of money and with the structure of boxing, which is a small structure, not a huge structure. And I'm sure we can do that if we have one thing in mind, and that is to make sure that boxing regains its glory days. That's all we have to do and walk away. Brad Chairperson, honorable members. Mr. Curtis.
Thanks, Chairperson of the committee and honorable members. The HG's members as well. Thanks for coming. Chairperson's mind is to take the Parliament, the Portfolio Committee, through what has then been done after the audit. Now, Chair, I want through your permission as well. There are two actions that have happened. The audit was done. There was no new board. There was administration headed by myself. Without the board, the previous board sitting, that is since its last sitting of May, 21st of May, 2011. Now I came in on the 1st of June. There's never been a board meeting since the 1st of June, July, August, September, till the new board started sitting. So in that space of time, the AG's office had audited BSA and had handed over the final management report to BSA, and we started the process of action planning. What has got to be rectified in terms of this, even before the new board came? Now, Chair, with your permission, the members as well, here, Chairperson, I've got two documents. This is the one, Chairperson, that is talking to this one. This is the one that's talking to responses to the AG report and the brief to the Portfolio Committee on Sport. You can see that it says BSA extended management committee responses. That's a meeting that the board management committee had on Friday last week to respond. Them now as a governing authority now. But this one, Chair, the action plan, is talking to what we did as administration immediately when this report was handed to us. That was somewhere in June, July. I don't know what's the actual date. June, July 2011. When we handed this report, what we did, Chairperson and honorable members, was to quickly do an action plan to say how then do you rectify what the Auditor General has raised and progressed as findings. Because our view is that what the AG states in this report is a fact that cannot be denied. So rather, start actioning a corrective response on each item. So this report, Chairperson, this action plan talks to that. May I just quickly, just take them as quickly through it. Here, Chairperson, they say, this report, the external audit findings are in four sections. First is the matters that affect the audit report. Secondly, other matters. Thirdly, the administrative matters. Fourthly, information systems. My view, Chair, as the CEO of the entity, was that administrative matters do not have to wait for a new board to be appointed. If the AG is saying the entity did not source three quotations when to join goods and services, I just don't need to wait for a board. It's an administrative issue that's got to be addressed immediately going forward. So that is why, Chairperson, I've got these two reports. I don't know whether, Chairperson, can I take the committee through both or just one. And I will stick to the one that members have now. But when answering certain questions, I will revert back to that one. Thanks, Chairperson. But let me hasten to say, this one as well, which is an action plan, was tabled to the new board in the board meeting of the 9th of December, that is last year, 9th of December, to say, board members, this is an action plan that we have developed responding to the AGs and the administration of the entity. So it has been tabled to the board of BSA on the 9th of December last year. So in their responses now to the AG, they're taking into account the action plan that was developed by management as well, which was action upon. Some of the things, for instance, have already been rectified, Chairperson, as from the date when the AG handed us this report. Thanks, Chair, for that permission. I will try to go back then to the report that members have, which is this this one. I'll skip number three, matters affecting the audit report. I think in the main, this is why the board of BSA was really focusing in their meeting of Friday. Chairperson, let me go straight into, I won't go to the purpose, the introduction. There are annexures that go with the report as well, Chairperson. Annexure A, Annexure B, Annexure C, and Annexure D. I will skip those again, Chair, to go straight to the areas of the findings. Finding number one, Chairperson. The finding is that there were significant uncertainties around one, the premises lawsuit, the marketing agent lawsuit, the legal fees lawsuit. Now, the board then said the action plan or corrective measure that BSA management must follow these up, or must follow on these three matters, sorry that this doesn't get there, must follow up on these three matters. The responsible person then becomes the CEO. It is an ongoing matter, Chairperson. I will just brief the portfolio committee on the premises lawsuit. The premises lawsuit talks to a former CEO of BSA having gotten into an agreement with property owner that we are going to move the offices to that building. And after signing everything, BSA is not really going into occupying that space. That's Chairperson, the chief. But just to be precise in terms of proceeding the committee, that that matter, in terms of the South African Boxing Act of 2001, it is the Minister of Sport and Recreation, in consultation with the Board of Boxing South Africa, that determine the location of the head office of Boxing South Africa. So it's a legislated matter. You can't, as a CEO, walk up today and say, I am moving this entity to that building, I'm signing. It's got to be the board in consultation with the minister that determines the location. So in that case of number one, Chairperson, it's apparent that the CEO, Bongani Khumalo, did not take with the matter to a sitting board and then give the board the space to discuss the matter, and the board finalizes that and then send it to the minister and they finalize. So in this situation, number one, the board was not aware of what was signed. Two, the minister was not aware of what was signed. So it's an issue between the CEO now and the property owner, Chairperson. Number two, Chair, talks to a marketing agent lawsuit. Number three talks to that. Marketing agent lawsuit. Here, Chairperson, a marketing agent comes to BSA and says, I'm going to source sponsors for you. And then all the necessary documentation assigned. Then the next thing, this marketing agent a sponsor never comes through to BSA. Then he or she was expected to be paid by BSA, whilst he or she did not bring a sponsor. So that's the nature of number two, Chair. The legal fees lawsuit, Chair, it talks to a legal firm that was representing Boxing South Africa then in all these matters, including the previous CEO who was there, in Krishna as well. So, Chair, what we are just saying now is that the outcome of these three lawsuits cannot be determined. That's what the issue is saying, actually, that the outcome of the three suits cannot be determined because of the limbo. Now, the board of BSA last week said BSA management must follow on this matter. The deadline is 27th of February, Chair. Can I go to going concerns number 13 on the issues report?
May I check, I can just say, for these matters, we've said, CEO, look at this and come back with a proper report on where they stand. Are they still ongoing or are they dead? And we need to just put something on those that they are dead, or there's something that comes out of that. Because we don't want to sit with hanging with the lawsuits over us. We want to just know, are they dead or are they alive, and what do we do to deal with them once and for all.
Thanks, Chair, for that input. I do want to say to the committee as well and members, honorable members, that in terms of the Prescription Act as well, if a matter has not been active for about 3 years, you've got a right to then say this matter has prescribed. So it's out of. Because some of these matters go back as far as 2003, 2004. Actually, I just wanted to raise that debate. The going concern issue, Chaplain. BFA incurred a net deficit of 2.7 million at the end of March 2011, and liabilities exceeded its total assets by 6.2 million. The board said management must do an offsetting exercise of debtors and creditors to reflect the true picture of the going concern. In any entity, when you come in, the first thing you would do is to check whether assets and liabilities, what is their relationship. Are the assets of the organization exceeding the liabilities or vice versa? In BFA, what I found was that it's vice versa. Liabilities exceed the assets. Now, when you go to assets, you would find that there's debtors, for instance, your receivables, money that is owed by to BFA. You know, there's money that BFA owes out there. Yeah. Now, a funny situation here was happening in BFA. You have promoters. Normally, a promoter, before a tournament happens, he or she is expected by the act to deposit. If it's R1 million, he must deposit R1 million to BFA. BFA puts it in a dedicated account. This is where all the boxers are going to be paid, all the other accounts are going to be paid after the tournament has happened, the passes and all that. Ring officials and everyone, marketing, advertising, the halls and so on. They would be paid out of this R1 million. Now, after the tournament, BFA has got to then go back and do a reconciliation to say, yes, he deposited R1 million with BFA. How much money is then supposed to be taken back to him or her, the promoter? It could be 200,000. Maybe you say, what has been expended is 800,000. Now, the 200,000 is an amount of money that BSA has got to pay back to the promoter, because originally the promoter paid it to BSA. Now, you've got to keep on this sequence, Chaplain, of reconciling every time. After every tournament, you do that exercise. Now, if this promoter had this 200,000 that you did not pay back, then next time he has another tournament, he has another 200,000 that is left to you. Now you start accumulating money that's supposed to be paid to that promoter. So you owe the promoter. On the other hand, on the receivable side, you find that promoters do owe BSA money. Same fashion. Now, you've got to start the process of then saying, you have, let me mention the names, you have, let me call the chairman. We have Mwande Balfour as the promoter. He is owed by BSA for 100,000. On the receivable side, so on the creditor side, we still have Mwande Balfour. He owes BSA 800,000. So he sits both as a debtor and a creditor at the same time. Now, what you've got to do, if you were reconciling on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis, that thing would offset itself easily. But because this was not done administratively from the finance department, this thing just grew, and there are many promoters now. Now, this going concern issue which Chaplain was looking like that. So what we did was to say, let us do an offsetting exercise. This Mwande appears for 200,000 owing BSA. We appear 400,000, we owe him. If we were to offset that, the balance becomes 200,000. It's either in favor of BSA or in favor of promoter Mwande, period. So that gives you now a true picture of the going concern. Once we did that after the agent report, that picture changed, from the figure stated by AG. It's sitting now at R327,000. Now, it then tells you that the situation of BSA is healthier than if they were continuing doing that. I think that's the issue. But anyway, the Godless management must do an offsetting exercise. I'm saying it has been achieved, because you would see in the other action plan, we started doing that even before the report came to offset, and then we said, well, this is the picture that emerges after offsetting. Irregular expenditure, failure to comply with supply chain. Chairperson, I got to PSA. The dollar budget for the year is 2.3 million. The 2.3 million is going to take out salaries for all the staff, including the CEO. We don't have a CFO. When I went to Treasury saying, and the department saying we want a CFO, there were some of these problems emanate because of the absence of a chief financial officer in the entity. Because to check up your financial governance on the entity, you definitely need an appropriately qualified chief financial officer. What I was told is that by Treasury, you must pay that CFO from that same 2.3 million. When I said to advertise, you know, just to advertise, Jefferson, a small paragraph like this in the daily newspaper, City Press, Sunday Times, you know, it costs you 80,000 rand. Yes, just a small paragraph to say, I am calling for people who want or are interested to get into our supply at a basis PSA. It costs you 80,000 to 85,000 rand. I have three quotations of that. I've done that last year to just source quotations. Now. From the 2.3 million rand, Jefferson, it was virtually impossible to even do that. And I take the AG's point here, it's a very valid one, that there is no supply chain management sort of failure to comply in terms of the database. Can I quickly move on, Chair? Fruitless and wasteful expenditure 15. PSA management must ensure compliance with internal policies and procedures. Failure to comply with internal policies, one. Two, interest and penalties incurred as a result of late payments to SARS and AXA. Three, human resource function was outsourced even though PSA staff received training to perform them. Chair, I do have some insight into the problem, that the finding that AG raises. Because you must remember, I started in the 1st of June when they were doing the audit. So in terms of the management report, they were discussing with me an aspect that they say we have given your staff 15 days to come up with this response. They have not. So it's a fact that the AG is raising. So it's no issue of going back to say what the AG is raising is it's not wishy-washy. No, it's a fact. The entity failed to comply with internal policies. The policy of PSA, for instance, would say when you procure whatever good, source three quotations. The finance department fails to source three quotations. When the AG asks them for three quotations, the finance department fails to give the AG three quotations. So it's a fact, Jefferson. There's no two ways about it. So it's a failure to comply with your own internal policies. Interest and penalties incurred. Jefferson, I want to talk to this one. I've just said PSA's budget was 2.2 million, is still currently 2.2 million. It's going to change in the next financial year, Jefferson, to 5 million, in the next NTF, 5 million to about 7 million in the next 3 years. But for now, up to March this year, it's 2.3. SARS and AXA, let me talk to SARS. The debt of SARS was sitting at about 8.1 or 2 million rand when I came in June. 8, yes, with the interest and so on. Now we're talking 8.2 million versus the entire budget of 2.3 million. So a market just can't be as long as that situation. You just can't turn the stones into bread. How this debt developed, Chaperson, was that PSA all over these years was not paying over money taken from boxers over to SARS. Now you must note this, honourable members, that it's an anomaly. PSA was taking monies from boxers, supposedly to pay them over to PSA, sorry, to answer, to SARS, yes. But this was not happening. So the money would be taken by PSA, it would remain somewhere here, no one knows where, and utilize whatever kind of purposes. All over these years, 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, up to this AG's report. Now, that accumulation, Chaperson, meant a debt on the side of SARS, accumulating. Meant a debt incurring interest on the side of SARS. meant that in carrying penalties on the side of life. Then it exponentially grew to about 7.9 up to 8.1. What I did when I came in Chairperson was to talk, set a meeting with SARS, talk to SARS, and then negotiate in terms of section, I think 119 or 19 of their act, to say, can they kindly waive the penalties? Because the capital amount was 4.5 million Chairperson. So I then said to SARS, I can pay the 4.5 million because the Minister of Sport and Recreation did say they can assist he can assist BSA with about 4.5 million rand, which he did, which was very appreciative of. Then the discussion with SARS, we got to an agreement, Chairperson, that if I pay this 4.5 million, it would be in full and final settlement of the debt. They would waive all the penalties. And they would waive the interest as well. There is, Chairperson, a signed agreement between myself as the CEO of BSA and SARS to that effect, Chairperson. We'll provide members as well, Chairperson. But I think the point is that H is raising the right point that interest and penalties were incurred as a result of late payment. Now, the issue of late payments, Chairperson, and H is, is that if you've got 2 million rands, you've got to pay 8 million rands. The policy says 30 days you must pay your creditor. You have to pay 30 days. 30 days goes by without you being able to pay 4.5 million. and another 30 days, and another 30 days. So the age is correct, it's raising a valid fact that we went beyond our policy of paying within 30 days. So interest and accumulated. Let me go to HSA.
Anomaly.
There
is an anomaly in that. The anomaly is simple, honorable members. And I think maybe the AG will also say something. People pay taxes to SARS. Entities pay taxes to SARS. There is no, maybe there is, but there is no accommodation as far as I know, that we collect people's taxes to BSA and pay for them to SARS. That's not correct. It's wrong. As the board, we've pronounced on that, the new board, to say we will not. People have IRP 5 forms. Boxers should have that. And SARS has agreed to assist us in actually assisting them individually or as groups in provinces to just teach them on how to deal with this with their managers so that we don't sit with an anomaly of people paying boxes. I'm talking about boxes like the thing, paying their taxes to us. We're not tax collectors. We're a boxing entity. We're custodians of boxing. A boxer earning money must pay SARS. Together with his manager, they must deal with those. It shouldn't come to us. It's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to make sure that boxing takes place. And boxers are doing the right thing. So we've resolved in December to move away from that totally. But to assist individual boxers through SARS, SARS should go out and educate people on how to pay your debt. Imagine taking that 8 million or whatever creatures to, I'm not a money person, I'm an animal person. Talk to me about Bonsmara and Brahman and everything. Then you're talking. Don't talk to me about, I don't know anything about money. Talk about bull goat, I'll understand you. Talk about bull, I'll understand you. So we've asked us to do that, but to help us, to help them. Boxers, managers, trainers, so that they can pay their own tax. Because I don't think in SARS there is a pigeonhole, a big pigeonhole, that will take the money in there. Boxing South Africa should pay its own dues to SARS. Because every entity has got its own dues to SARS. We should not therefore be collecting from other people. It's wrong and we don't pay it. We then utilize the money for administration. It's wrong. It's not acceptable at all. That's the kind of situation that was said will not happen, not during my watch. Not during my watch. You can't have that. People must do the right thing. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair, for that input. Chair, based on what the Chairperson has said, we have then, since that agreement that was signed between ourselves and SARS, we have then said BSA will discontinue this thing of taking money from Boxers. The Boxers are going to meet SARS and. But I think there's an issue of Boxer education as well in terms of their obligations. I think the Chairperson has already touched on that. We have a program that is starting between BSA and SARS, where we said our task would be to assist the SARS to pull Boxers under one roof in East London. Then officials of SARS would take Boxers through their obligations. Go to the Western Cape, do that, and so on and so on. That's the kind of working together with SARS that we are currently doing now, Chairperson. But I think that has been corrected. No more BSA taking money from Boxers. It's not our skill. We're not authorized to do that, Chair. Chair, so yeah. Okay, thanks, sir. Human resource function. Here, Chairperson, it's that the function was outsourced in no BSA staff received training to perform the function. Can I give members the background here? Here, there's a talk of a payroll yes, it's a payroll.
Training.
It's both the training and software and whatever. Here, Chairperson, an external consultant comes into BSA and does the payroll. Maybe something like two, three days before the payday. You see? And that person gets paid about 2,200 rands every month for doing all that kind of work. Now, apparently, BSA sent two people, staff members, one from HR, one from finance, to go and get training on this kind of payroll kind of system. When these people came back from training, they are skilled now on how to do this thing. But the software was not purchased by BSA. So the situation still went back to limbo because they are trained, but there's no software to do the actual payroll. So it meant that consultant should then continue with what she was doing. Now the AG comes in the middle of that and says, but on this date, there's a workshop that we're paying for two people going to a workshop on payroll. But this side, we're paying a consultant 2,200 a month to do payroll. What's happening? But then it's when that was clear that when they came back, there was no software. Now PSA started now. We only chased that software now when I arrived here. We've purchased that software now. It's in place, and we've then taken those two people to say, you were trained on this, refresh yourselves on this. Then the consultant now is on a month-to-month contract basis. I've explained to her that, look, now the software is here. The agent has raised this as a concern and a finding. Here the people that are trained, they are familiarizing themselves with this thing. You are going to run parallel only for 1 or 2 months, then you fall off. As a consultant, they go on. It's agreed on that. Chairperson to address that. But unfortunately, one of them resigned, Chairperson, again. One of the trained ones again. I take it into that. BSA management must ensure that trained personnel actually carry out the function of payroll. I take it, Chair. Material losses. Material losses to the amount of 132, that relates to license application. Here, Chairperson, you have the honorable members. You have a situation where BSA is spread throughout all the provinces. In each province, you have a provincial manager, and so on and so on. Now, a boxer in the Western Cape wants to license. He or she does not have to take a flight to Joburg. That's how they were doing it. She or he would go to the provincial manager, pick up forms, do all the necessary requirements, and then he or she would deposit money, would give money to the provincial manager. Now, this relates to now the shortfall between the money banked by the provincial manager, the money that appears in BSA's coffers, versus the money received by BSA. If a provincial, a Western Cape provincial manager has receipted out, say, 500,000, making an example, but depositing to a BSA account deposits 300,000. The question is where they are at 200,000. That's just making an example there. That's the issue here, Chairperson. Now, what we've done, Chair, we've started up with right. We've opened a window now from January. January the whole month, the licensing window. February the whole month, licensing window. Up to March the 20th, we've opened that. We've settlers have gone out to boxers and all stakeholders who wish to become licensed professionals. That it's an open, it's a licensing window now. We are very clear as to what you're supposed to do, where you pay money. They are given the account of BSA, and to say money is not paid to any other person other than a bank called ABSA. Here are the bank details. Here are the fax details. We faxed this to head office of BSA, and that's it. Well, that's how it was supposed to have been managed in the first place. Now, human error, Chaperson, 500,000 on the hands of a person who has got many problems here between here and the bank. No. So that it relates to that, Chaperson. Thanks. So I think it has been.
Let me follow up, Chaperson. You will ask. What as the board, after putting that into place, what have you done?
We then said, we'll do it this way that Peter has said to change it. But we can sit and not chase after those people where the shortages come from. We can't, because the AG has picked it up. Write letters to the three of them, three provinces that have this problem. It's the Eastern Cape, the Western Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal. Write to those managers. Ask them what has happened. Why is there this discrepancy? What happened between the bank and themselves? Because there's no problem between the licensees, boxers coming to them. But it's between the time that they receive all the money and the bank and what comes to us as boxers in South Africa. What happened? So letters have been written to them. And I'm expecting those letters to come back. And as I sit here, I'm definitely sure those three managers are going for disciplinary hearings. I don't even want to be discussing that. They are going for disciplinary hearings and disciplinary proceedings against them. You don't chow other people's money and get away with it. No, you can't.
Thanks, Chair, for that input. Actually, I think the Chair is talking to this paragraph. Letters to be sent to all provincial managers where these shortfalls have occurred, and the necessary steps will be taken in terms of the PFMA, PFMA section 51.1e. Okay? Thanks, Chair. Strategy plan, Chairperson, the members. 20. The accounting authority did not finalize and submit a strategic plan to the relevant executive authority on or before the 1st of April, as required by the terms of reference. So the Treasury Regulation 30.1.1 and 30.1.2. It affects, Chairperson. They did not, as a board, as a governing authority, sit and endorse a strategic plan that must be submitted to the it's a fact. So the board and management of PSA must ensure that the strategic plan is submitted to the relevant executive authority on or before the 1st of April each year. This is a consequence of a dysfunctional board, as the Chairperson had alluded to. But I just need to say, Chairperson, that is why this coming Friday, we have a board meeting. I am tabling a strategic plan to the board, final draft. The board will endorse it by Friday. On Monday, it is going to be sitting at the executive authority's office in Pretoria. So we are on track on that, Chairperson. I think the 2021-22 are similar, Chairperson. 20, the board of management has not maintained an effective system of internal control. The answer is the same, the dysfunctional board. 22, annual financial statement. The answer is the same, Chairperson. This is a consequence of a dysfunctional board, unless there are members who would want me to dwell on that. I'm just trying to save time as well. Getting to the audit committee, Chairperson. The audit committee did not function as per the requirements of Section 77 of the PFMA and or Treasury Regulation 27.1 in that one. The audit committee was not constituted correctly. 2, the committee did not review the effectiveness of internal audit function and the adequacy, reliability, and accuracy of financial information provided to management. Yes, Chairperson, is a fact. You just cannot take anything from the AG finding there. But I would assume, Chairperson, that the audit committee started correction. I would assume that maybe when they started, there were three, you know, I would assume. And then maybe one resigned along the way, I don't know. But the point is that at the time of being audited, there were two. The fact that the AG raised BSA has advertised to the public for applications for members of the BSA audit committee. This advert closed on Friday, this new Friday. It's on our BSA website as we speak now. You know, it was closing on Friday. The process from there is that the chairperson of the board, in this next board meeting on Friday, they must say this is a panel equity that is going to sit and interview, actually do the shortlisting and interview people and come up with three numbers. So chairperson, that is on track as well. That's why I'm saying the timeline is 20 January. By 20 January, if you can phone me, chairperson, I'll give you this one. Sorry, by 15 February, yes, I think they would have said chairperson. Unless chair, there's a question on that. The audit committee was appointed, yes, we are on that one. The second one is that the audit committee did not review. It's a third chairperson, the issue is correct there. Firstly, because they are irregularly or incorrectly constituted, they cannot even do their work properly. The decisions that they might get into for that matter are going to be questionable, you know, because their status, their local standing is. I think Chalice might take that one as well. But the board is going for those interviews. Internal audit, 24. The internal audit function did not adhere to the requirements of section 51(1)(a), subsection 1 of the PFMA. Chairperson, here, the problem with BSA, I think it also goes to the issue of resources. There are no resources to pay a CFO, no resources to pay an internal auditor, as in a one body employed in BSA. Because by law, you've got to have someone inside the organization who you can refer to, that is the office of our internal auditor, who does this on a daily basis and talking straight to the board, not talking to the CEO. Not straight to the audit committee, not to the CEO for that matter. Now BSA does not have that person. Now I'm told that BSA had a contact with a company called Mazars. Now this Mazars is here in Cape Town. How can you internal audit an entity that is sitting in Joburg and we are here in Cape Town? The flights and everything are going to be charged with you as well. So and the continuity in the audit on a daily basis is not happening. They would do it once, you know, in the financial year, and let's say audit committee, there you go. But on a daily basis, to check these issues on a daily basis, it's not happening. So, Chairperson, we are out of you, but I have talked to the Director General, new Director General, Mr. Mwin, to say, if we had resources, we were to hire an internal audit person, things would change. And he seemed agreeable to say, provide an official to BSA. But that would be on a temporary basis, Chairperson. I'm talking a permanent board body going forward. Because the other issue is that the skills, Chairperson, should reside within the organization. If you continue depending on consultants, the skill never grows within the organization. So the capacity of the organization never grows to self-regulate this matter. Thanks, sir. But I take it, it's a point, a valid that the HG has made there. Chairperson, the CEO will not approve purchase acquisition. It belongs somewhere that it does belong there. Let me go to procurement. Yeah, I think it belongs to procurement. This point. I think I wrongfully put it there. It should belong. Sufficient evidence could not be obtained that goods between 10,000 and 500,000 were procured by inviting three goods. Yes. That's one thing that CEO will not approve. Belongs under this one. Three quotes per transaction in excess of 10 and then 7,000 must be sourced. The management corrective step we've taken here is that when it comes to the CEO for any approval, any procurement, there's a schedule wherein they must tick all the things of compliance, including are there three quotations for this? Is there a certificate of tax clearance on this matter? Is there, so it's about, I think about 12 issues, you know, that I cannot sign any approval unless all those are ticked. That's a management measure that I'm putting in place, which I think in the next audit is going to be rectified, Chair. Awards made to suppliers who fail to provide written proof from SARS that their tax matter. The initial tax clearance certificate as well. It's part of that schedule I'm talking about as well. the would award without a company showing proof that the tax carrier.
Mm.
The government does not work with the people who are not tax vendors. And then you pay tax to that person who's not a tax vendor. How does that money come back to national fiscal to develop roads and other issues? Chair, I think 27 supply database. It's the issue that I was referring to. 27 expenditure management. The accounting authority did not take effective. The accounting authority now. You must look at 28, 29, 30, 31. It's talking about the accounting authority now, Chair. That is the board headed by a chairperson. Now, I think it goes to the issue of that dysfunctional board the minister was talking about and the chairperson was talking about. Did not take effective measures to prevent irregular expenditure. Did not take effective steps to prevent fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Did not take effective steps to prevent losses through criminal conduct in Section 51, 1B of the KFMA. Did not take effective and appropriate steps against officials who made or permitted irregular wasteful expenditure. Let me talk to the first one. The PFA board will follow the provisions of Section 51, subsection 1, FD, and Section 51, 1E of the PFMA. Now, 51, 1E talks to the issues that relate to your expenditures, your procuring, all of this matter. But Section 51, 1E talks to taking the actual person through a disciplinary process. This is what the chairperson has alluded to in his opening, that the board has agreed that PSA is going to go the route of setting up a disciplinary hearing, calling the respective members, officials who were part of that to be to a disciplinary process. Give me, phone me after 2 months, I'll give you a report that they've gone through that. Chairperson, I think I am done. Mm-hmm. I am done unless there are additional questions. Oh, 31, according to authority, don't be said, but you know about that one. Lastly, Chair, the method of implementing and monitoring the plan. The Standard Management Committee with recommendations on the implementation of Section 51.1b and 51.1e, that is the disciplinary process of the PFMA, will be tabled to the board of PSA in January. The board is sitting this coming Friday. That's what we are talking about, Chairperson. All those recommendations, so that the board says, take these steps as per the PFMA. Two, the External Management Committee's recommendations to the board of Boxing SA is that AXA takes up the investigation in terms of Annex E of the Water General Management Report of 31st of March 2011. It might be good to give background to that. Chairperson, the AG has said there's a possible or suspicious fraudulent transaction 1 or 2 in the audit that has been done at PSA. Now the meeting I think was chaired by the board Umusa from the AG. It was myself and the former chairperson of the board, Dr. Ngatane. I said to Dr. Ngatane, it would be proper for us to say if there is a suspicion of fraud, let's instruct the AG themselves to investigate that matter further. I should say that in that meeting, it was agreed that AG would take the matter forward. Precisely because when I go out, Chairperson, I'm going to go tender, ask for companies like your Pricewaterhouse, your Deloitte & Touche. They're going to be charging me an arm and a leg, which I know that I don't have those resources. So for me, I thought that if the AG were to say that, I did say in the meeting that firstly the AG and ruler, must give us a quotation to say how much would the AG charge PSA if they were to take further this. You remember that one? Now, Andula has since came to me to say, look, I think there's been some changes at AXA themselves. So Chairperson, that is still a limbo. But I think the first point I want to make here is that we did say in terms of Annex E that AG should follow this matter up, should investigate it further. The extended manco instructs the CEO to write letters to provincial managers. I think the Chairperson has talked to that. Now, how we've done it is that each department in PSA, Chairperson, here are the AG's findings. When a finance, take all the operations, take all operations related matters, your licensing and that, put them into your departmental operational plan, report to the CEO on a weekly basis, but not on a monthly basis going forward. We do have that file reports since July, August, September, October, November, December on the progress on the action plan. Each department will submit each to the financial management consultant and the CEO on a monthly basis, yes. Based on each department's progress report, the financial management consultant will prepare monthly progress reports and the manufacturer. Monthly progress reports, which will be reviewed by the CEO and submitted to the audit committee. This file is full of those reports, Chairperson, which is for members. Action plan reports, progress reports. This is December. Action plan progress report. This is November 2011. Action plan progress reports. This is October 2011. Action plan progress report. This is 31st of August 2011. Action plan progress report. This is 30th of September 2011. I'm trying to say we started actioning these things even before we were called to the portfolio committee. So in a sense, Chairperson, I want to rest my case just at that. I think I have levels of approval on the bar for January. Chairperson, can I rest my case?
Thank you very much, CEO, and members, that the board is on your court. Any questions, any issue that you want to raise? AG, I think you are happy. Yes, Muslim.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I've been listening to the action plan that has been outlined by the CEO of Oxfam SA. And I must say that it's just one with hope that these matters are going to be tackled properly, correctly. These are very good plans from what I've heard so far. Of course, my team is going to look more in detail to see if they satisfy our main concerns. But what is more important is the implementation. You can have good plans, but we need to implement those plans, and then that will bring about the required results. And also, if you look at our audit report for the financial year 2011, I think the action plans relate to mainly matters that were raised under letters of emphasis and also other findings relating to compliance with regulatory requirements and also performance information, but there are also the matters that received qualification. That is, the first one was the missing documentation that was not provided to the auditors, an amount of about 324,000 that the department was qualified, that the entity boxing was qualified on. And then there was another matter of insurance receipts in advance, which was not properly evaluated in terms of the applicable accounting standard, GRAP 19, which requires that that item should be evaluated every year because it relates to the insurance, which has to be assessed as to the adequacy every year so that it can be adjusted as required. Those were the two matters of qualification that also needs to be attended to. And I think those matters will be attended to by having someone who has the proper skills to make sure that they can comply with the standard, and also who's going to make sure that the necessary evidence is kept, you know, so that when we require documentation, that is available to us. That has been the case even in the previous year, for which the BSA has received qualification. It was mainly on scope limitation. We refer to it as scope limitation, where we don't have the necessary evidence to back up the expenditures that we are audited. Other than that, I am satisfied with the response. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Musa. It's very useful for us. Member Mark, you wanted to raise the point. Mark Duval, for
timelines, because I think that's very important. But I would like to make this analogy. If the BSA was a normal citizen of this country, they'd be in jail. Because they've broken every single rule, from taxation. The worst crime in this country, other than murder, is taxation. You know, avoiding tax, payment of tax, and behaving badly, not reporting. So I think it's high time that some strong management people come in here and clean this place up, because I think everybody's just fed up with what's been going on. But I must applaud you for the outline and the timeline in particular that you put in there. Chairperson, I would like to just say that I used to be a major boxing fan, and I remember the days right back from Arnold Taylor when he won the title. Here he could see a tap-tap. I continue used to watch at Westridge all the time. And saw Hawk fighting Baby Jake, you know, in Johannesburg. So there was fantastic enthusiasm around boxing, and it's disappeared. We talk about TV. In the States, you've got HBO, you've got ESPN, and even a couple of other smaller pay-per-view or other TV channels. But you know, we've got ETV, we've got SuperSport, and we've got SABC. Surely there's a way we can get this done. The other concern I have is that if I go around, and I'm from KZN, if I go around the province, there used to be boxing clubs in Newcastle, Durban, Edamaritzburg, up at Empangeni, everywhere. There's nothing left. Just the odd one. So it comes back to my final point. Mr. Belfort, you spoke about transformation and development. And I think that's close to all our hearts. But how do you do that? I mean, you are commissioned now with growing the sport of boxing here in this country to get more participants to come so they can become great amateurs and then hopefully professionals. How do you do it when there's not enough money to do it? Now, I'm a sports administrator, and I know the challenges on the ground of transformation and development. And I can tell you now that if you don't have funds, it's extremely difficult to grow the sport and to get the enthusiasm back. So from a transformation point of view, I'm very concerned, because I don't see the participation of all our citizens or the opportunity for them to participate. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I would like to thank the representatives of BSA for the presentation. I am a bit tired, Chairperson. But listening to the report today actually keep me awake. It was like watching a horror movie. I must say that Mr. Balfour, rather the former minister, it will be difficult to address him as Mr. Balfour, for what we know him as before. Let the former minister have a tremendous task. Yes, Chairperson, you've mentioned that we don't have to worry over the nitty-gritties. There is the Auditor General's office in terms of investigation. But I need to emphasize that it's all these things that has an effect on the challenge of transformation and proper development in this country. I also would like to thank Mr. Balfour, for the former minister, for accepting this challenge. But I'm having a big problem with the time frame. It's 3 months down the line, 8 months left, and I would like to actually put a straightforward question to the former minister as to whether he thinks he will do this within this 8 months. It's a big task. I'm not pursuing and try to pursuing the former minister to go longer, but we know that really he will be able to do something about BSA. Chairperson, the irregular expenditure on 1.3. Saddened to say that I don't see any recommendation from the CEO on the appointment of a CFO. I can't see it, but how is it possible? And specifically in this regard with BSA, I experienced this problem sitting without a chief financial officer. extent we can terminate the service of the current internal auditors that is currently situated in Cape Town. It will be really difficult to captain the ship, and also having them there remaining in this organization. And the audit committee, expiring on the 20th of January, the 20th of January, we welcome that. But also no suggestions in the recommendations or action plan as far as the emphasis is on the task, awaiting task, what has happened with the previous committee. So I think when the former minister do this appointment, really we need emphasis to be put on following up as far as what is happening in the past, as far as the so-called new job is concerned. But I can only wish the former minister well with this mammoth task, where the committee year after year know what problems we had with DSA, specifically mentioned the screening time of SABC, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night when everyone is sleeping. Yes, BSA has been the orphan child as far as allocation of budgets is concerned from the specific department. And so we need to beef that up as well, comparing to other departments that receive assistance from our side. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Chair, I'm really happy with the report that we got, and I'm actually pleased that for once we can say this seems as if there's movement. I'm happy with the report which was given, both by the chair and the CEO. It's just the problem I've got is with what is in the report and how that is going to be dealt with. The CEO said that they'll ask the AGs to do that. It's important that you can't just sit and have the figures and don't know where the figures are coming from. I mean I'm looking at office equipment, write-offs, almost the whole of the amount which was in the books. There was 302,000 opening balance. Write-offs for the year was 268,000. New equipment bought 125 or 126,000. Of that, almost 50,000 was depreciated. So that something must be done with what's in the report. I mean, people has gone. Some is still in the organization, but somewhere the new board must take action on those people, if the new board or the AG's office. So there's a lot of those things. Interest in the financial statement, your finance cost increased from 450,000 to 1.5 million. So what I'm saying is I'm happy what has been done from the new board has taken office. It's just that there's problems in the audit report which can't just be left. It must there must be investigations what happened, and if that people are still in the board or so, that they are dealt with. So that's my only concern with the whole. I can go on a few more figures, which is, but it's not, you've got the report. Okay, thanks very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. CEO, you want to?
Yes, sir, just before the chairperson. I don't know whether I should start, but let me start anywhere. Chairperson, it's important for me to say, Chair, some of the issues of the AG's findings, you know, they relate to things that you as an individual now cannot change. For instance, let me give an example on the depreciation of assets. A car was bought, okay? It's a VSA car, branded VSA. But then the AG would then say, National Treasury's permission was not sought. In terms of the regulation, it is correct. But I'm sitting with a car that has already run its life to zero now. Okay, but it's still going. It's the only car that VSA has. Now, my question is, that finding would sit with me even next year. The AG is still going to say, that was never approved by the National Treasury. That's going to be the first report that talks to my performance as the CEO of the entity. I'm sure that finding, Chairperson, I'm already saying it now, Chairperson, so it comes next year. you've got those kinds of things that you as the CEO who's trying to make the changes now, you cannot change. You understand, Chairperson? I will sit with that until that car, I don't know what happens with it, but it will forever remain that it was never. Until it was? Sell it. Thanks, never. But when you sell it, still, you did not obtain the approval, at least from National Treasury. It was not done by the tax chairman. I want then, Chairperson, to go to other issues, Chair. I want the issue of the CFO. I appreciate, Chairperson, that one. I've noted it down here. I don't want to take this committee's time, Chairperson. I was going to go to the emails here and show you a letter that I wrote in June when I came last day to the AG, to the acting AG, who was Sumaya Khan. To say, Sumaya, let's say AG. Oh, sorry, my apologies, Chair. My apologies. The acting DG. I was saying to her, look, to change the financial management and governance issues of this entity, you really need to have a substantive CEO, CFO, internal in-house. You cannot even, survive with external consultants and all that. To bring stability on the financial governance of the institution, you need a substantive CFO. Now, I'm saying a CFO is better nice to have a SMIA. It's a PFMA legislative requirement, imperative. I cannot escape that reality. So for me to be able to turn the fortunes of this entity around, I am not a finance person, firstly. I need a finance person in-house. Period. So I need the department to assist me with a budget to appoint a CFO. Now, Chairperson, I've gone through year on year. BSA has last had a CFO somewhere in 2002 and 2003. That was the last. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 now, about 10, 11 is finished. No CFO. Now I'm saying, unless something happens on the resource endowment to BSA so that I'm able to advertise a post of a chief financial officer, this situation, Chairperson, next year I'll be here, it will not change unless I get those resources. The same goes with the audit, the internal audit person, that the external company that sits in Cape Town called Malaz, it's not a tenable situation. I need an internal one body that's going to have a contract with the BSA to become an employee of BSA. Knock into that door every day, come to work, knock off on a daily basis. That's a function of resources as well. Chairperson and many others. Let me talk to the SAPC before the Chairperson dies. This new board, the Chairperson started a situation where he called on the Chairperson of the SAPC because the issue of boxing taking a nosedive. It's a function of sponsorship and broadcasting. These are two sides of the same coin. If you don't have guaranteed broadcasting, MTN can't come and sponsor boxing. They would ask, what's the economic mileage that I'm going to get by sponsoring you, BSA, or boxing? Where is my logo, my banner going to appear if there's no TV? Now, if you go this side saying, SABC, come on board. I've watched SABC take the report in this house. I don't know whether it was in this room. And the Chairperson and the Group CEO, Phil, they were narrating a story how SABC is really battling financially. Now, that is one of the reasons why SABC, the country is experiencing this blackout in happens everywhere. Now, sponsorship goes away with that as well, unfortunately. So you've got to get things right in terms of broadcasting, then your sponsorship grows. Now, the Shepherdson has had a meeting with myself with Dr. Ngubane, Ben Ngubane, the chairperson of the board of the CBC, and Phil Mulisi, the former acting CEO. And then we then said, if you don't have money at the CBC, we've got the right of boxing. Because that's another issue, chairperson. The issue of where do rights of professional boxing lie? That is also at the center of the issue of boxing transformation and development in this country. Whether your boxers die as paupers, as the chairperson has alluded to, and whether they die as descendants of African citizens that have contributed to the sport in the country and then lifting the flag of this country internationally and then nationally. Those levers, chairperson, someone needs to tamper with those levers of where the rights lie. You get a situation where chairperson here, let me go back. People think that the rights lie with promoters. And unfortunately, all the titles are listed here, chairperson, in these regulations. And these are boxing regulations of the FA. But now the practice is that your individual promoters who have contacts with certain broadcasters would go and clinch deals. I won't mention names, chairperson, here, but I'm just talking the principle. Would go and clinch deals with a particular broadcaster. And then they dominate the space because they're the only ones who can clinch deals with a particular broadcaster. They dominate the space. Chairperson, that we've got to deal with those levers. To begin to say, look, the rights of professional boxing sit with BSA. BSA must talk directly to the broadcasters. And then get the SABC or whomever broadcaster to commit to broadcasting this schedule for the whole year, irrespective of a promoter. Then if SABC commits to broadcasting this calendar for the year, we then allocate promoters to those dates. Because the issue of transformation, chairperson, you are not talking transformation of boxing as boxers, but you're talking how do you. BSA has got 35 promoters. It's only 3 that seem to have this monopoly. What about the rest of the 32? Small, young, developing promoters, both male and female, spread throughout the province. How does a small promoter from Khayelitsha, who does not have connections with any of the broadcasters, clinch a deal of that his fighter must be televised to his tournament? How does he or she do that? She or he will perpetually remain at that level, chairperson. Perpetually. What about the boxers of that person now? That's why we have now boxers gravitating to only 3 promoters in the country. And that is where the tire hits the road in terms of exploitation. They get stripped titles, chairperson. Because they can only go through this door. And I'm afraid that's an issue of transformation in this country, chairperson.
Let me, chairperson, without reason, take it out. Let me start with what Mr. McKenzie said, that if boxing was a person, it would be in jail. That's very true. A number of possible fraudulent activities have been going on. A number of other issues of breaking and breaching every rule in the country in terms of the PFMA. They really should be somebody who goes after BSA as an individual if it was. But unfortunately, it's a board plus the CEO. And we need to find a way of saving the institution from going to jail, but not saving the individuals from going to jail. There's a difference there. Save this institution. Don't save the individual. Let them be pursued with investigations first, proper investigations and everything else, which I think the last extended meeting said, we are not going to take the AG's report lying down. I don't want my name and my integrity to be dragged through all of this. If the AG says investigate and follow up, it has to be done. It just has to be done. There's no other way, so we've agreed on that. The broadcasters, as Bridget has put it, my approach has been very simple. I've been a minister in government executive. I know the SABC's problems. SABC has its own problems, and those who are in parliament would know it better. It has been on one leg for a long time, limping all the time, because it depends on appropriation from and being saved by government all the time. So it's a fact. And when I came in, my approach was, let's not go there with a big stick and say to the ABC, hey, you are not broadcasting the fire. No, you can't, because you know the problem. Beating them with a big stick is not going to help. Go in there, form a partnership with the SABC and say, let's take this together. Let's go to Unilever and say, but funny, Unilever, Vaseline cannot be a big sponsor of rugby. Vaseline ought to be a big sponsor of boxing, because boxers use Vaseline. After each and every round, it's Vaseline that's put on their faces to save them. So you can't. So that has been my approach. Ngubane and myself, coming from the executive, we know one another. We ended up being ambassadors and then being chairpersons after that, both of us. So Phil Mollet and myself and Kriti met. And we said, let's agree on an MOU, which we're busy with. I think it's going to finalize now. MOU that says, let's go out. I don't need you boxing, I mean broadcasting SABC. Don't need you to give me money, because you don't have the money. I know that. And I can't squeeze you to give me money. I can squeeze you to go with me to the sponsors and say, MTN, here's a provincial title. Wouldn't you want it to be called an MTN featherweight champion of the province? Whatever, Distel, King Korn, what have you, we've listed all of them. We're going to go to them together. The together means if the sponsor agrees, FABC, you scream. The sponsor agrees, you scream. That's how it should work. Because I don't expect you to give me a check. But on top of that, you do not deal with promoters on calendar dates. We, the custodians of boxing. If you've got 35 calendar dates of showing boxing, give those 35 days, calendar dates, to Boxing South Africa. It's Boxing South Africa who's going to make sure that there's equitable sharing of those dates for development promoters. Those who have development tournaments must get dates to be screened. You cannot have all the dates being vested in one promoter. You can't. So, don't talk to promoters. Talk to us. It's written down in that memorandum of understanding. I'm following up on ETV, because ETV has an interest on this. We're going to report these things when we come back. I've had a meeting with SuperSport already. On ringside, about how they do their ringside programs. SuperSport has been dealing with three promoters. SABC has been dealing with one. So, in essence, we've got four. And we've got 35 promoters around the country. Then the other promoters have got to rely on these four big brothers, giving them whatever they can. It shouldn't work like that. It shouldn't. It should be BFA who deals with calendar dates. SuperSport is still trying its best to run around that. And I've said, we do not want to jeopardize those that have contractual obligations with you, but from January, and I said end of January, February, we should start talking. How many calendar dates are you putting out at SuperSport? Those calendar dates vest with custodians of boxing. That is Boxing South Africa. And we will make sure that they are equitably and fairly divided for provinces as well as for all promoters around the country. It should be Boxing South Africa who does that, not you as SuperSport, not you as ETV, not you as SABC. It should be us, because these are our licensees. It's not your licensees. And the broadcasting rights, read the act again. Vests with the custodians of boxing. Just go and read that act and read it carefully. There are some things, Chairperson, that will come to this committee where we will amend that act. That act needs to be strengthened. That's a 2001 book, and it was created by moi, as Queenie would put it. By moi, that's myself. You know Queenie's tricks. I watched too much television. I shouldn't. So I know the nooks and crannies that are in that act. I know its weaknesses now that I've come back to boxing. I've never boxed in my life, Chairperson. You're better than me. I played rugby. You can see me. If you had played rugby and cricket, I never boxed. I could have been a heavyweight champion if I boxed, but I was too sluggish. So these things vest with us. We are in the process. The new CE Group CEO, who has been announced about a week ago by the minister, I've already had contact with her, Lula Mamkobo, and probably by Wednesday or Thursday this week, I'll be meeting with her to follow up on that and to make sure that we are together in making sure that boxing goes back to where it belongs. It's screened and people can see it. So we're working on that, Mr. McKenzie. The enthusiasm, we're trying to build it by getting more funding. I've asked people whom I know, particularly the guys from the provinces that I know who love boxing, like yourself and the chairperson, to give whatever they can to have equipment. And so the equipment does not come from the fiscus. The equipment comes from raising little, small sponsorship and then being able to give boxing gloves and rings and getting those gyms working again. That's exactly what I would like to do. Getting those small gyms working again and screening them, making sure they do the right thing. It's a horror movie, as you say, that you have seen. And I don't doubt, when you ask, will I be able to do it within these last 3 months? I don't doubt it, that we'll be able to make some movement. And if not, I can assure you, I will continue. I will continue going on. If I don't make it, as I said to myself, there's the 3 years to go, but I would like to push for that 1 year. If I don't, I'll continue. I won't just turn my back away. I'll continue just hammering at it until we get it right. Regular expenditure, addressing that. CFO, board resolution that we should have a CFO. And the CEO is talking about resources coming from the minister's office. The minister has promised us some things. And at the moment, I'm quite comfortable with that. I know we need more, but I cannot just say, more, when I know the challenges that are facing the country in other spheres of our lives. I wouldn't turn a blind eye on that. And unfortunately, I happen to sit in the executive, so I know what the priorities are sometimes. We love boxing, but we still love to see our country flourishing in all other areas. General audit, we are going to be addressing that and addressing the issue of the audit committee. So, by next week, we should have an audit committee in place. Investigations will go on. We are taking action on the AG's report, as the CEO has said. We are taking action already. There are actions that have to be endorsed by the board on Friday that are taking very strong action against individuals. Individuals in the board and individuals in the offices. We need to take action. But I can't take action for individuals in the board. Action has been taken by the minister, because it's the minister who appoints board members. And in one of the resolutions, I'm writing a letter to the minister to say, take action, minister, against board members who are not. And at the moment, there's only one from the old board. There's only one from the old board, the former chairperson. And I'm writing a letter to the minister to say, look at, not because of anything, but because of the AG's report. Based on the AG's report, Minister, please review this. That's all I'm saying to the Minister. I'm not asking the Minister to fire anybody. It's not in my nature to ask for that. The last thing was what? Yeah, I think we've covered, Chairperson, most of the things that the members have asked here. And I'm quite comfortable with the members' questions on these issues. Thank you, Chairperson.
That's fine now. I think you're very happy. to say formal, but it's a reality, really. I think the AG will agree with that, that we're former ministers. There would be red card as for doing that. But I just think that comment on it is important that we follow that, but I think there are many also sporting codes that they have to take a similar approach. Because there are only three sporting codes that are well sponsored in South Africa. Would be soccer, notwithstanding the state of soccer in our country. And there would be cricket, of course, I'm told that Sri Lanka won. And then it's running. And then all other sporting codes later, I think they have died really, generally. All of them have died. I'm not even talking about indigenous sporting codes. I'm not sure whether they're mostly, whether they're existing or not existing. I don't know. But I'm saying that we are really facing challenges there. I think as a former minister, we should be assisting us also as a community just to deal with real matters to make impact in our society. Because unless we do that, of course the AG one is very important, but they're very numbered and very competent. I think the team there is absolutely competent. It's a world class, really competent. There's no problem about that. But I guess that the real weakness is around parliamentary work in terms of members of parliament. What do we do to ensure that the bigger issues of transformation that happen? Particularly those who belong to the government party, because it's their mandate to do so. And then, because it's very easy to be captured by CEOs discussing their tea and coffees. You didn't go for supply chain management for buying a coffee. It's really consumer for our time. Instead of dealing with the issue that you are raising yourself, that the bigger problem is about sponsorship. And then boxing in South Africa has gone down the drain. Of course, leadership also, I think, is bad. Governance issues also are very important. But I just get that comment. We should be able to meet ourselves. I think the committee is there, whatever time. Just to sit down, really. Just to shut the way forward. Because I think the sport like boxing is a very important one. And I'm told that it's not very expensive to produce a good boxer. Because it needs a lot of discipline and other things. But I think we must really work it out seriously. But as we are saying, I'm not sure, I think Mackenzie was saying that there were a lot of boxing clubs in Alexandra County. But all of them have disappeared completely. To resuscitate or revamp them, I think it's going to take an effort. And I guess ourselves as a committee, at the political level, and yourself in terms of administration, I think we must work out to raise some of these issues. I think we'll apply also to all other sporting codes, whether it's tennis. I know that golf is well sponsored, generally, of course. Very few people play that game. I think even yourself, maybe you study because you're a farmer. Maybe you go also and do other work there. So, but I think a lot of mass sports that, in our view, are very important that we should pursue and ensure that we address this thing and then work out some of these issues correctly. I think we have raised the issue here that I think to me is very important about that, because I've always been worried. I never even know that there were 35 promoters in South Africa. My view was that there are only four. So I never heard about some of them anyway. I know that it was in Zee, there's Makaraj, there's Herman, there's Thomas. See, I never knew some of them. They were in Tata. I never knew that they promoted them. So there are no boxers anyway, you can't promote anyone again. But I think the bigger problem that really must address, but transformation is about that. Leveling the playing field for every person to participate. And then this issue, I think we must pursue it completely. And we can't fail to do that. Because I think sport can be a very big industry, truly speaking, if it's well managed. And then it's well done. In fact, in other areas, people go to sponsor one area. Maybe we should consider, I think the minister will meet with the minister, we should consider persuading sponsors. At least national sponsor to sponsor one sporting club. We should consider persuading some of them. Of course, those who are comparing bigger ones first, but also that sport really. The tennis there, the athletics, a lot of sports. But they're not sponsors at all. As a result of that, they disappear. And all those who happen to be managed by very poor people, I think they're disappearing completely. I don't think we should do that. I think coming from others, we are around them. for the next 3 years, I think we must be able to turn things around. Not only in boxing, but in a broader sport, because I think sport is a critical area that we should do. McDougal, I know that we used to be around when we were athletics and the schools and all that. Because we are going back to school sport, I think that can assist us a lot, really, in a very systematic way to ensure that sport can become very important instead of our way. I think the briefing is very useful, of course. You can't conclude everything in one day. And I think that critical area, CEO, that you must make follow up on. And as you come back again next day. Also, thank you for your explanation, because we were very angry. And we thought that you simply see that these young boys and girls, anyway, are older people before them. But I think it's very important that you explain the reason why structural things have to be followed. I think we are very able about that. And I think, members, you are fine now. Mostly, are you fine? You shouldn't be quiet, because I know that there's no single sporting coach in Northwest. No single sporting coach in Northwest, because there's no TV coverage. When they run in the mountain, no one covers them. You only cover them when they're running in London. They will never go to London unless they're trained. Evukumbu, Platinum Star. Well, not well sponsored, but I think there are chances are better than that. But just the point that we are raising is that we should, as members of parliament, ensure that there's development and transformation of sport. That should be our issue as members of parliament. It's deep about the details of it. But generally, we agree that sport must be mass participation of sport. Of course, boxing, I don't think, can be mass participation of sport. But it's a very important sport for Maslua and the team. But really, there's no reason why former ministers can't produce very good runners like in Kenya. Can't be correct that it's only Kenyans and Ethiopians who produce long distance runners all over the world. And some of them are extremely poor than the South African ones. But I think extremely well. You can't fail there to do so. Let alone tennis, that it used to be a very important sport, but it's gone down completely also. It's not far away from boxing now. I think we should revive all this sport as well, systematically, the community. That's why we are saying, Honorable former Minister, as you come in your new capacity, just always address the bigger issues before the community. It's important for governance, leadership, we should deal with that one. But how do we develop sport and how do we transform them? Because we may develop this sport, but this is not transformed. It's not going to assist them. We have equal opportunity for every South African. Level the playing field. The person who's in Tata must benefit of the promoter. He can't wait for Magrua. When Magrua is angry with him, he simply switch him off completely forever. He can't work like that. He can't work on the African hand. And then he can't do that. You know, I think that's a bigger problem I wish as well. Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Board. CEO, you are here.
So that I am happy, I would love something from you to talk to.
Yeah.
Okay, there's something that says, going forward, I know that your task is around overnight and so on. But really to say, when one looks at the overarching transformative trajectory, as you said, and then really broadly at issues that social cohesion, national nation building, and so on. The resourcing of that project becomes very clear and key. I really, Chairperson, do not want to believe that, given the kind of resource base that BSA has now and into the next MTF period, which is the last year of the MTF, the outer year is only 7 million rands. That in 3 years' time, BSA will be sitting at 7 million rands. I don't feel, Chairperson, that level of funding would really enable the vision that the board has to be achieved. Because I'm talking from the national fiscal, not talking from sponsorship and other issues and so on. It is really not, Chairperson, correct in my conscience to say the staff of BSA have gone 2 months without being paid in August and September. And then to me, those issues go directly to issues of motivation,
they've got families, they've got kids, school, and so on and so on. But I must push people around whom I know have not been paid for 2 months. It's not a petty issue, Chairperson, but someone can look at it as that it's a petty issue. But it's key. If any person in any employment goes home for 2 months without a salary, but this is called a government entity, then what is the problem there? Those are ethical issues, much as they are family issues, much as they are development issues as well, Chairperson. Because your skills might take off like that. Some have started resigning because of such scenarios. Skillful guys that have been groomed within BSA, finance and HR, the one that I was able to trained on this, started resigning. And you cannot say no. He or she feels the pinch more than you. I think it's why, where the Boxing Act would say the conditions of service of staff of BSA must be the same as those of the public service. But really, do public service servants go 2 months, 3 months without a salary? And the answer is no. But I think those small things, Chairperson, to just show them that they really matter, the staff, I think it's key. But I see a disjuncture between the vision of this new board and the resource base that is accorded to BSA, which are issues that I think at a global level have got to be addressed. But lastly, Chairperson, there's this issue of the international sanctioning bodies, such as your IBS, WTC, and so on and so on. Those entities need to be reined in by BSA. You need a session where the chairperson goes to the states, for instance, because that's where most of them are. It's your WTC, WBA, IBS, IBO, you all get them there. Now, to pull them to South Africa is going to be a mammoth task of them spending their money coming here. But if you were saying BSA goes there, if you've got a convention and so on, you get them together. Because what you need to do, the IPF, you have got one promoter in this country who promotes IPF fights, tournaments. Don't want to mention names. You've got one promoter that talks WBA and then WBC, and so on and so on. Now, you need to talk to those entities and say, we've got 35 promoters in South Africa. You must give evidence over the first year that we are dealing with all of them, period. Why are you dealing with one? We are creating a scenario where all our promoters are going to stay targeted. A typical example is when, in a TV interview, one of these so-called big promoters started saying, all these small promoters are on my payroll. You can't talk. Chairperson, that is insulting as well, you know, because he knows that he handles Mikala off the IBF. And the way, the truth in terms of going to the IBF, you need me, you can't go to the IBF outside of me. Those are things that Chairperson we need to really deal with. Chairperson, I rest my case there.
No, all Chairperson that the CEO is saying, the associations, don't worry, we will deal with that. But when you have, as all of remember, an opportunity just to motivate to the minister, who really is quite aware of the shortcomings of the resources towards BSA. Probably just to say to the minister, when you look at the funding that goes to BSA, please do mention that boxing is one of those struggling entities that need to be looked after for some time. The department ourselves and the CEO are working quite well together. And at the moment, I'm quite comfortable because I've been in the executive, because I know how it is to be able to divide a small cake into smaller cakes. So the Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members could help us during budget votes in putting forward the fact that boxing doesn't have a lot of resources. But we also have a responsibility to go out and do some sponsorships and everything. And we'll be able then to be really floating very well if that could be looked at by the honorable members when they meet with our Minister of Sport and Recreation. I know he's doing quite well, quite a lot for us and going out there, but we still need to push much more to get something more than we are getting at the moment. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
pillar for us also to take note of the new endeavors that brought the efforts that this BSA has, and also the shortages. But the former minister emphasized that it seems that the power will actually lie by the minister. To me, it's much broader. I don't know to what extent the department also is to be blamed when it comes to education, because we as a committee in the past always have problems with love life. How do they get, you know, or come across allocating so much money to them? So, and I also don't want us that this meeting of today end up in a talk show. That's why I say we have to take note of what happened here. And to some extent, I think from your side as a chairperson, there need to be some sort of a communique with the minister as far as this whole problem is concerned within BSA. Yes, it's a new broom, and we would really love to see Boxing South Africa back on track as well. So I'm not too sure about the procedure after this meeting. What is happening? In which room does the allocation happen as far as allocation is concerned? The line of communication via us through the minister, the line of communication from or between the minister and BSA themselves. And there is really also indeed a quest for the minister to be in some way present, be as it may, in minister, in meetings of this nature, together with you as a chairperson, because I'm finding a little bit of a problem with the communication with this committee, and also on the other hand, going out to the minister's office. So I believe there must be synergy, otherwise as a committee, there was no need to see them. Because several times there has been reference to the minister, and we've been in touch with the minister, and also the fact that they did not attend. It was mentioned that the minister will speak to us as a portfolio committee. My memory serves me well. Never ever have we been informed that the minister has indicated that Boxing South Africa couldn't come. We've just been told by the secretary that they won't be able to attend. So I felt it appropriate to mention it now in their absence, because I didn't want to, you know, pour some sour grapes on the general's concern and also assistance in this regard.
Okay, now I think we will take that point. Yeah, there will be communication in the signature of the committee, generally coordination of the committee. And as the management of the committee also is starting to function, because if it doesn't function, the likelihood for many things